And let's begin our class with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the gift of this hour that we can gather to study your word. We're so thankful for the word that you have left us, that we can study and meditate upon it, that we can learn thy truths. We are thankful for this study this morning as we delve into your law, for the Old Testament, for the Mosaical law. We just thank you that we can study and that we can learn and be edified and strengthened. We pray that you would be with us and bless us in our endeavors this morning. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week we were talking about the children of Israel getting to Mount Sinai and God delivering the law. And we talked quite a bit about how it is basically arranged, if you will, so very similarly to contracts and covenants that were being used and in place in that day and age. You know, with preambles and, you know, blessings and curses, and if you do this, I, you know, this is what, you know, so it was very much a, it was very much a contract that God was setting in place, between him and his people. And, you know, as we talked about that, you know, in modern day contracts and stuff, we negotiate, you know, I want this, you want that, we want this, and then some, you come together to a meeting. Well, in this instance, of course, it wasn't anything like that. God is setting his moral law, his moral code, his code of conduct, which represents himself, to the children of Israel, and they needed to accept it. They needed to say, yes, we will abide by it and follow it. And that is, of course, what they did. They did, you know, agree to the covenant. They agreed to that contract, very formally, and said that they would do all that was in God's law. And we know, looking backward in history, that, you know, for quite some time they did, and then for quite some time they didn't, and back and forth, and round they went. And very cyclical in their obedience to God's law that he gave them here at Mount Sinai. So this morning we wanted to talk a little bit about the actual Ten Commandments themselves. Okay? So you know, Moses receives these, and traditionally, of course, they're written on tablets of stone, and, you know, obviously nobody knows which ones were written on which tablet. I mean, there's, you know, historically people have thought, well, you know, there's like four on one and six on another, or five and five, or something like that. But, you know, of course nobody knows. And it's not real germane to salvation or understanding God's word, etc. However, it is kind of interesting. One note I read was actually making the case for that since this was a contract, since this was a covenant, that the two tablets of stone, each one had all ten on it. And basically you had the contract and a duplicate copy of the contract, which was very common back then because each party to the contract had a copy of it. Well, we do that today too. Each party to a contract has a copy of the contract. And so, you know, this author was putting that forth as, you know, why two tablets? Why, you know, he was saying a theory was that the Ten Commandments were written on both sides of the tablet and there was two because there was a copy. But in this case, both of the copies, if you will, and this is what he was making the case for, was both of them were placed in the Ark of the Covenant, the replacement ones. So, I don't know what that's worth, but it was just an interesting theory, of, you know, I hadn't actually ever really thought about why two tablets, why there was two. You know, everybody always supposed that there was two because some of them were written on one tablet and some were written on another. So, could be either way. But like I said, it's not totally germane to our salvation or anything like that, but it's an interesting point. So, historically, the Ten Commandments have been kind of divided up into two different groups. You remember what those are? And that's where you get to talk. Two different sets, if you will, which also lend themselves to two tablets. Pardon me? Right. That there's some of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship with God, and then some of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship basically with each other. Okay? Do you remember how they're broken out? I told you guys to read them. Right, the first four. It's not a 5 and 5 deal, it's 4 and 6. So the first four, yeah, they're written and they deal with the relationship with God. You know, those first deal specifically with our relationship with our Creator. I find it kind of intriguing that when God delivers them, He delivers the first four concerning our relationship to Him first. He didn't save those to the end. He didn't mix them into the middle. You know, I don't know if it's significant or not, but I do find it interesting that God put the relationship of us to Him first, which is as it should be, right? So, I couldn't obviously say that that was on purpose, whatever, but it does seem that it was very specifically placed first. And then I also find it kind of interesting that if you think about it, if we, in essence, keep, and for them specifically, you know, if we're keeping the essence of that, if they specifically kept the first four commandments, if they had done it right, the first four, all the time, doesn't it make following the other six much easier? So I find that interesting too, that if we place our relationship with God first and foremost and paramount, and we strive to our best to do that right, it makes everything else easier to take care of. Not always, of course, that's a generalization, but, you know, in general, if we follow God and if we have our relationship with Him correct, and we really strive to do that at all times, it's going to make following the rest of God's word, it should make following the rest of God's word easier to handle. So, I just find that interesting. So the second commandments deal with our relationship with others, and, you know, they're very specific, you know, and what we should and shouldn't do. Now, of course, there's the whole rest of the law and the covenant, but here, you know, how we deal with each other is in that second half. So, can you think of another spot now in the New Testament, another set of scriptures in the New Testament, which basically speak to the same thing? If you have the Ten Commandments, and they're broken into basically two portions, one dealing with our relationship with God, and the other set dealing with our relationship with each other, with our fellow man, where do we go in the New Testament that we see that similar? Okay, the Lord's Prayer. Okay, where else? Because it's actually in a lot of places. Pardon me? Sermon on the Mount. Okay, Kelly? Okay, right. Right. The whole law and the prophets hang on this. Right. Yep. So that's actually one that I've came to the first, you know, prime, but it's kind of repeated lots of places. Other thoughts? In, you know, Matthew 22, that's where I was heading, originally too. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, Matthew 19. So, and it's interesting, it's a lot in Matthew too. But, you know, specifically, you know, it's always begged the question, and people have always asked, are we under the Ten Commandments today? Do we follow the Ten Commandments today? And so, here, though, if you look at this, don't know what the right word is, conceptually, that the Ten Commandments, two different groups, our relationship with God, our relationship with man. Jesus specifically says that also and talks about that. Love your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind. Okay? That's everything. He didn't exclude anything. And then the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. So, when people ask, you know, do you follow the Ten Commandments? Are you bound by the Ten Commandments? How do we answer that? How do we talk about that? What do you think? Yes, no, maybe? Aaron? So you need to look at and have a brief discussion on covenants. We have the Old Covenant, we have the New Covenant. We have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament. They were bound by the Old Covenant. Jesus came and fulfilled that covenant and completed that covenant and instituted a New Covenant. So as far as being bound by law within the covenant, within the contract, no, we are not bound by the strict observance of the Ten Commandments and all of the Mosaic law. Because if we were, what should we be doing? A whole host of things that we aren't doing, right? I mean, we should be observing all kinds of feasts. Well, I kind of like that part. We should be traveling to Jerusalem. I kind of like that part. The animal sacrifice piece, I'm not so up on that one. But, you know, traveling abroad and doing those kinds of things, I could get into that. But, you know, there's a whole host of things within the covenant, the contract that the Israelites signed that we should be doing if we are to be under the old law. So you have to take a few minutes and kind of think about and talk about the differences between the covenants and that Jesus completed and fulfilled that covenant, and now we are under a new covenant. Kelly?
It seems like there's several things from the Old Testament, from the Old Covenant, that we carry into our philosophy of Christianity.
Yes.
That we don't mandate, but we frown on, like tattoos. In the church, it seems like most people, like, I don't want one, I don't think they're great, but most people seem to frown on them and think they're, like, not something a Christian should be doing, and I don't see anything in the New Testament about tattoos. There's, like, one verse in the Old Testament.
Right.
And I wonder why God said that in the Old Testament. Was it because the people around them tattooed themselves in service to their gods, or, you know?
Possibly. Yeah. But there was a distinction.
And I wonder why we do that.
Right.
With some things.
We could get into a whole host of discussion on the things. This thing. Right. But when you do think about it conceptually, if you do think about it philosophically, if you will, if you want to think about it in those kinds of terms, are we under the old law? Not by covenant, not by contract, but when you look at it, what God set in place, morally, under the old law, is the same morality that he set in the new covenant. So it is the same, okay? So the moral covenant, if you will, that he established, that the Israelites were to follow, love God, love your man, fellow man, is the same. So that part, yes, carries through. And we can see that in a lot of passages throughout the New Testament. Kelly?
Do you mean the Old Testament is more like specifically prescribed? Whereas the New Covenant is more generalized.
Right.
Like
Yes. And actually, I spent some time last night, way too late, but anyway, going through, and you can find different verses in the New Testament that do replicate, basically, the Ten Commandments, except for one. Okay, Sabbath, right, exactly. So the spirit of the Old Covenant is the same as the spirit of the New Covenant. The morality of it, the spirituality of it is the same. So in that regard, when people say, well, you know, God's always changing. He changes what he wants here, changes what he wants here, he changes. No, he didn't change at all. He delivered the same moral covenant, but the laws are different, the restrictions are different, how it's delivered, how we're to do it is different. The old law was very physical. I think that's you were mentioning. Very specific, very set in order. Ours is of the heart. Okay? And that's a huge difference, actually. Steve?
The law is a physical example of spiritual principles.
Yes.
And so we learn things from the law. For instance, if a lizard gets in one of our bowls, we run it through the dishwasher. But in the old law, a lizard went into one of your bowls, you had to break it. And
right.
There's a principle there. If God has said something is unclean, and you're the only one who knows about it, what do you do? Do you break the bowl? Do you cleanse yourself? Do you do what
right, you do? Right.
Do you overlook it and brush it away? What is the price of that? And you can understand that looking at the old law. So when God says, the way you talk, the way you behave for you, there are spiritual consequences of that. We can understand that by looking at the old law.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It helps us to understand spiritual principles, and I go along with the tutor comment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Because it leads us, it teaches us. Yes, exactly. Bev and then back to Kelly.
I've never been quite sure what God, the exact relationship between God and all the peoples of the world. He didn't have exact covenant with. When he destroyed whole civilizations because they were so wicked.
And they weren't following him.
And they didn't have expectations.
Yes. Yep.
There were laws about behavior.
Yeah.
And when the Assyrians, for instance, were so wicked, they just destroyed them.
Right.
He had an expectation that they would do
right.
Completely different.
The rest of the peoples in the world, there was still an expectation. There was still some type of law, some type of something, even if it was written in their heart, that they weren't following, and they were going against God. Here at Sinai, he codifies it, and he sets out the contract, and he writes it down, and they both agree to it. God agrees to it because he established it. They agree to it verbally and committed themselves to it. Kelly, and then over here.
You mentioned something about how people try to say, how the covenant has changed, and
right.
God's always changing. Just in response to that, to me, it's, as we kind of said, the two covenants are getting at the same thing.
Yes.
But one's a little more specific, one's a little more general.
From your heart. Yes.
My kids, if they're asking them to play now, they have very specific rules. You must stop at the grass. You cannot do this. You cannot do this. Because that's what they need to do it. Whereas I envision when they get older, saying,
yep.
Go play in the yard and play safely. Or, something.
Yep.
Where different people are in different
right.
places and need different levels of specificity to carry out
mm-hmm. the same thing. You can look at the two covenants. You can look at the two contracts in that light also. That the first was there. And that's said in the New Testament all over the place. It's there to lead us to Christ. It's there to lead us to the New Covenant. It's there to teach us to do that. That is a maturing. You can definitely look at it that way. That we matured as humanity into the New Covenant. Now, we're still humans and, we choose to follow it or not. Of course, that's also an interesting piece to this too, is that, if you were born Hebrew, you are in the law. Here we have choice to put ourselves in the law or not. Yeah.
But with regard to the original.
Oh, yeah.
We as Christians have a responsibility to not to violate the conscience of others or our own conscience with regard to something like that, even
right.
though it may be perfectly legal.
Right.
We've seen people wearing tattoos that are in the world and of the world. And if, you know, right. if we start wearing tattoos, we become perhaps a right. violation of conscience of our brother.
And that is a good, I mean, we can use that item as a good example for that part of the discussion, because again, if you have the old law that's a tutor to bring us to Christ, we are now in this new covenant. It's spiritual based, it's from the heart. You know, it's easier, it's harder. Okay? And so before, God said, you will not do X. Okay? And there was some reason in his mind for that that we may or may not understand. But now he says, I don't want you to be violating a brother's conscience. I don't want you to be violating your own conscience. Now it's of your heart. Now, you know, it's very specific in that. And we really have to be patrolling and watching that. And so that's a much more mature, if you will, look, understanding, component of our relationship with God and our relationship with man. Kelly, you wanted to add on to that? And then
yeah,
Doug.
I think that's a really great point, that we do have a responsibility as Christians to make sure that we aren't doing things that violate other people's consciousness. The Paul thing about the need and the location of
right.
However, I also think both parties have a responsibility in our side. As Christians,
yes.
we also have a responsibility to not to make sure that what we're sort of judging other people against and forcing other people on are not our personal beliefs, mm-hmm. but really
and that's where you, again, have to take that deeper look and understanding and maturity to understand God's new covenant that we are under, that there are still things in it that thou shalt not or thou shalt, but we need to be even more careful, if you will, that we don't add to it or take away from it, because there is a lot that is in our heart. Whereas, you know, as we look at the two covenants, under the Israelites, everything was very prescribed, very detailed, very, you know, set out. We were talking about that one at breakfast yesterday. You know, we were looking at that. You know, it was like we were talking about apples and apple trees. Okay? And there actually is, in Leviticus 19, you plant the tree for the first 3 years, you can't eat of it. The fourth year that it produces, that goes to God. So it's not until the fifth year that you planted and have this fruit before you even get to having it. I mean, it's very set out and prescribed exactly what's going to happen. And we need to look at that, understand all that, be taught by all that, but then look at our covenant and not add to it, not take away to it, from it, etc. And we have to be you know, very diligent in observing our covenant. I think Doug had a question and then a comment. And then Ryan?
If you are not a Jew under the old law,
yes.
you could proselyte.
Yes.
To join the nation. But you were not eligible for the blessings that a true Jew would give.
Right.
You can do all the things that a Christian does, that a Christian is supposed to do, but that doesn't make you a Christian. You have to make the covenant with God under His conditions.
Yep.
So you can't proselyte into the church or proselyte
right.
into Christ. You have to be born again.
Right. Again, if you look at the two covenants, and, oh, they're different, they're vastly different, and God's changing. No, it's still the same. God set the covenant, you have to agree to it. He set our covenant, we have to agree to it. You know, we have to agree to be a part of the kingdom, and we need to voluntarily accept God's, and we need to obey and put our, you know, He puts us in the kingdom, don't get me wrong, but, you know, our piece of that is obedience, and, you know, we have to fulfill our piece.
You can be born a Jew.
Yes.
But you cannot be born a Christian.
Right. Yeah. And in the old law, that's right. You know, you were born into the nation. You could proselyte in, but you didn't get all the benefits. Here, once you are in the kingdom, you get all the benefits. But it's still a covenant established by God that we accept. We didn't get to negotiate it. That's the same. So, Ryan, you had a thought you wanted to toss in there.
Yes, another thing to add to this conversation of why we carry over some of these philosophies from the Old Testament. I like it, Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and in God, you know, declares how he feels about the things in the Old Testament. Well, that doesn't change.
Right.
And he may have said certain things where I'm in the Old Testament and came back and told Peter
God's, he was the same then, he's the same now, he's the same for the future and forever. That's not going to change.
I'm just going to piggyback on that and say that if you think about it, the old covenant related to a physical nation,
mm-hmm.
the preservation of that, the development of that,
yes.
bring about the Christ,
yes.
and ultimately the spiritual nation, which we're yes. now a part. So the differences in purpose go to the differences in content of those two covenants, but the underlying principles.
Right.
The underlying principle of love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's in the old covenant.
It's in the new.
Yeah. And you know, sincerity, honesty, truth, all of those things are
God's moral code
in both. But you know, some of the specific content is different because of different purposes
right.
and roles
right.
of those covenants. Bringing about God's purposes at those different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Other thoughts?
Well, the other thing that changed a lot is the temple.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we are the temple.
Yeah.
Where the Spirit dwells.
Mm-hmm.
And that
right.
makes quite a difference on the outside of us, too.
Right.
And we have to be, you know, not looking like the world. Looking like a punk rocker, and if you're saying I'm a Christian, you know, it's you've got to manifest it on the outside as well as inside because the Spirit dwells within you.
Yep. And the Spirit dwelling within us was the same then as it is now. But again, the physical nature of that covenant had a physical temple that they were to physically go to and annually offer sacrifices and do all of these religious rites and observances that, you know, if we were truly under the old covenant today and bound by its law today, we would have to be doing. But we don't because we, you know, yeah, it's in our heart. The temple is, yeah. So, yeah, Kathy.
Before the Ten Commandments, the
yeah.
Ten Commandments, God had a law for his people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same as it is today. It was, you know, he had one commandment for Adam and Eve, and that was not to eat the tree, which of course they did. But he still had the law of loving God and loving each other. He went Abel for Cain,
right.
killed Abel, you know, Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? And yeah,
the answer was yes.
You are. Now, we don't know exactly what that law was. Or,
right.
And it was famous. You know, slight difference dated to the patriarchs. As time went on, it may have been the physical aspects of it. Maybe they didn't have a
right.
time. But the spiritual law is still there.
Which, again, speaks to that part of our discussion this morning about the other nations, you know, that weren't under the Mosaic law. They were still under a law. They were still under God. We don't have it written down. We don't understand whether it's through patriarchs, was it, you know, but they were to be following morality. and they weren't. And when it got to a point, then God took them off the planet.
And they were to love each other, but obviously they came to God.
And other nations, that's what the nations and peoples to other peoples, and they did not. When they got that bad, God took them off the planet. God is the same then, He's the same now, and He's the same forever. Jesus, obviously the same. And so, yeah, the differences, if you will, that we see in the covenants, you know, are there, and they're specifically there, and for obvious good reasons and practical purposes and stuff, but the principles of the Ten Commandments, the principles of each one of those, if it's not exactly specifically restated in the New Testament, which they, you know, they are, thou shalt not steal, well, Jesus talks about stealing, you know, etc., thou shalt not commit adultery, we have that in the New Covenant also, you know, all of that's the same. The only one that isn't is keeping the Sabbath. You know, and even more importantly, if I can even say that, because it's all vastly important. God's spiritual law, His morality that He gave to the people of the world, but specifically here, and codified and wrote it down for the Israelites, that moral principle was the same then, same now, same forever. And it all carries through. And so you can take some time, like I did last night. We don't have time now. That was the first bell. And I went through each of the Ten Commandments. And you can find scriptures in the New Testament that speak to each one of those, of course, except keeping the Sabbath. And, you know, look at that. And, you know, you can see also other, if you will, related concepts, you know, because, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay? Well, you can find hosts of verses in the New Testament that speak to the concept of there is only one God. There's only, you know, there always was, there always is, there always will be only one God. You know, Jehovah, you know, our Creator, you know, and we are to have that relationship with Him. You know, so the concepts and the you know, what we are to be doing, and that moral code, is the same as it was then. So, other thoughts as we're closing and wrapping up.
I think this is really important. You know, God doesn't change, as you said, everybody has 100 times this morning, but man has the problem. So the latter portion of these in between each other is where I think you have a harder time. Culturally speaking, has changed. What was accepted, what wasn't accepted.
Very much so, yeah.
You know, people working, incomes in the home, dress attire, appearance. There's so much.
We'll just keep going.
So I just think it's a really important thing.
Right.
When we look at the commandments between one another, how we honor one another, it's that whole principle of honoring God and honoring one another is the same thing. Because it becomes so, so broad in the sense of what has changed. We used to say what's okay isn't okay now. When we really look back on it, we say it's not okay now because the culture isn't really stuff that's not okay.
Right.
And I think that's just a really important observing of the commandments. That's the principle of how we treat one another and all aspects of all of us.
It is really interesting how society has changed. I mean, you can see that. That's obvious. Societies are different than they used to be. And then you look and you see that, well, when you boil it down, there's nothing new under the sun. It's still the same set of problems. But society is vastly different. What's accepted in society, like you mentioned, is vastly different than what was accepted in society 10 years ago, let alone several hundred years ago. But, you know, we still, it's the root core issues of how we treat each other still are the same commandment. It's all still the same, same kind of issues. But yeah, I go back to the first four. If we are following the first four commandments, and we're doing those to the best of our ability, as they are reiterated in the New Covenant, of course, don't get me wrong, the rest of this is going to be easier to follow. I mean, it's not going to be perfect because the world isn't, obviously, and society isn't, et cetera, et cetera. But it should make our lives of following God easier with our relationship to our fellow man if we have our relationship to God the way it's supposed to be. So that was the second bell. I want to thank everybody for our class over the last two quarters. It's been really good to delve into Genesis and Exodus. We kind of treated it a little differently. We didn't do a chapter by chapter study. We talked about different prime individuals in Genesis and looked at their lives, which in essence is kind of following through the chapters, but we were more focused on the individuals. And then what I was trying to do here in Exodus was similar and just look at Moses and everything that was going on with him, because of course, obviously, he's the pivotal figure in delivering God's message to the people here, these Israelites, as he sets up and preserves the nation. So again, thanks for the class. And like I said, Steve's going to be picking up Acts next week. Dale, you had a...
Just want to say the bulletins are ready now in the foyer.
Okay. We didn't have them earlier, so if you'd like to get a bulletin as we break, please do so. Thank you all, and we'll study Acts next week.